Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And it is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the program, talking about a horrible incident which took place yesterday in the city of Tonawanda. Our thanks to Dr. James Harreth for joining us in the 3 o'clock hour to explain medically the issues involving such severe burns to the human body. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with this story, you need to listen to this because this is it's a riveting interview. It is very filled with information, David. It is with Captain Fred Foles of the City of Tonawanda Police Department, and Brian Mazurowski and Susan Rose did the interview this morning as part of A New Morning. And, you know, listening to it, I think, gives people a better sense for what the police dealt with when they arrived and the horror of the witnesses at the scene at Tim Hortons on Niagara Street in the City of Tonawanda.
Captain Fred Foles of the City of Tonawanda Police Department joining us live to sort out a horrific incident yesterday outside of a Tim Hortons at Niagara and Seymour Street. Captain, good morning.
Good morning.
This incident, can you tell our listeners how it unfolded, how you got word of it?
Initial call was a person on fire outside a dumpster, and when officers arrived, they discovered that there were two people that were burned and on fire outside this dumpster, which later turned out to be a boyfriend-girlfriend type domestic situation.
What exactly occurred after you were able to talk to some of these witnesses and do some preliminary investigating?
Well, basically, the male was in the dumpster area. It's one of those areas that have a stockade fence around two dumpsters. He was in that back corral area and called the female up who was working at the Tim Hortons and asked her to come outside, meet him at the dumpster to talk about, you know, their situation.
Did people come out? Did they see this and try to douse the flames?
Yeah. There was quite a flame area coming from that dumpster area, and there was a fire extinguisher that was take it from the restaurant, used to put out the people.
What happened to the woman and the man, their conditions, and what do we know about them right now?
Well, both currently are still up at ECMC. Both were intubated, a breathing tube inserted down their esophagus for breathing. I guess last night he was agitated and pulled the tube out. They had to sedate him. And then I found out later he took a turn for the worse, and at one point they had like 5 IVs in him. But he got stabilized and sedated. She's got burns to her face, her arms. There was talk of amputating both of her hands. However, they were able to get a pulse back into both of her hands. So she's badly burned, and both are up at ECMC.
And is it true that they had children between them?
Yeah, there was three children, one, two, and four. They weren't present, and boyfriend, girlfriend, and they shared these common children.
Have you ever seen anything quite like this?
Well, quite frankly, no. You know, it was some type of, there was strife apparently between the both of them, and this gentleman took it to the extreme, I guess.
Boy, there's so many other ways they can handle these things, right?
Absolutely. But who knows what his, you know, his mens rea was, his state of mind, you know, to lead to this extreme.
You know, that same shock, I think, that we all get when hearing this story, was that present when you spoke to some of these eyewitnesses that were there, too?
Well, it just happened so quickly, and with flames and people on fire and hair on fire, it was, I'm sure it was quite bizarre for these people that were there in the area that saw it.
Yeah, how disturbing and just absolutely horrifying. And the two have, the police have a history of, with this couple, right?
Well, believe it or not, just one time, officers were at their apartment Saturday night, 1:30 in the morning, there was some kind of argument, and then family members of the female took her and the children and left the apartment. So we were just there one time dealing with them.
What charges is the man currently facing?
Well, we had a preliminary conversation with the district attorney's office last night, but he's looking at possibly 4 felonies and a misdemeanor on an attempted murder second charge, arson first charge, assault first charge, criminal possession of a weapon, an explosive, reckless endangerment, menacing. So he's looking at possibly at least 4 charges. The highest charge is the murder second. That's an A felony.
All right. But right now, both of them in pretty critical condition.
Correct. Both are at ECMC. The male is under a police guard until he's stabilized where he can be arraigned, but both currently at ECMC.
Captain we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Captain Fred Foles.
Of the City of Tonawanda Police Department, joining Brian Mazurowski and Susan Rose. You know, and what I want to know is, how do you possibly get justice for the victim in a situation like this, David? I mean, our Constitution bars cruel and unusual punishment, but is there anybody out there who does not think that this guy ought to be tied to a pole and doused with gasoline or something flammable and put out of his misery?
He's already done that.
Well, true, but he's going to pull through. I mean, this is just so hideously disgusting. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking, and everything, of course, in 2018 is political, but had he done something with a firearm, in particular a so-called assault weapon, what do you think the story would be today? It would be, we need common sense, gun control. But nobody, I mean, this story also illustrates that if somebody is bound and determined to seriously hurt or kill you, they can make anything and turn it into a weapon. Take a Pepsi can and turn it into a weapon if you're so inclined.
I just don't know of anything more cruel to do, especially if this is the mother of your children, if this is someone that you have a disagreement with, to take it to that level. You know, again, this is what capital punishment's for. I really mean that.
Should this be a death penalty case? I think this should be a death penalty case. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN.
What's the point of capital punishment? It's basically to say that there is no punishment on our books that will give you the there's no way to pay back what you've done other than to take your life. Because what you have done in this moment is permanently destroy someone's quality of life for no other reason than you were upset about a situation, you were frustrated about a decision that was made, or you didn't like her choice and she moved on with someone else. There's a lot of things that you can handle it that way. Look, there are people that punch their spouses, slap their spouses, verbally abuse their spouses, all of these different things that are on the litany of you know, what they consider to be domestic abuse and domestic violence. But we have more compassion for a dog set on fire.
You read my mind.
Than we do for this woman. This woman was working a job, taken out of her workplace for what she thought was going to be, you know, a public. You know, I called the police the last time we were together. And again, I have no inside knowledge of this case at all. I'm just going with what we have on the record. The last time that, you know, you wanted to sit down, we had to call the police. So let's assume that she's like, I'm only going to meet you in public. So can I get a little bit of privacy? Let's meet by the dumpster. You know, some idiot set a dog on fire and the entire region was up in arms about, you know, this is cruel. And it is. It's disgusting and it's abhorrent that you would take an animal, a dog, something that doesn't even have the ability to you know, you can make no rational argument why an animal should be tortured in any way. But set on fire is one of the most cruel ways that you could torture an animal. And yet we had, you know, fundraisers and laws passed, the Phoenix Law and this and that. What do we have here? No, that's just what happens. Go start a GoFundMe. Let's get the kids some PlayStations, some pajamas and some diapers. And we'll just try to help this woman get her life back together.
I mean, the money that this is going to cost, and I'm not sure what this woman's insurance situation is like or anything like that, but I mean, I really don't think that an estimate, if you will, of about $1 million is going to be far from the mark. My open heart surgery costs like $200,000. So, I mean, that, and that was like 10 days, 15 days, whatever it was in the hospital. So I'm thinking about the surgeries this poor woman is going to have to go through. Now, if some of the burns, David, were to her face, I mean, you know how the human being reacts to being burned in the face. The ears often go away. The nose often is missing after a severe burn incident to the face. And, you know, you can't really, you know, the face, unless you're going to walk around all the time like a mask or with a mask, I mean, the face gives so many of us our identity. And, you know, you look in the mirror before you go out. You're not looking at your collar. You're not looking at your back. You're looking at your face. And I don't know the nature or the extent of the damage to this woman's face. But, you know, as far as the punishment, David, you know, this guy, if he's found guilty in a court of law, this guy should never, ever see the light of day again. This individual should forfeit the rest of his life and be held in a prison, not for 5 years, not for 10 years, but for the remainder of his unnatural, unholy life.
You know, you think about the situations we've had, news stories in Buffalo where, you know, there was a situation where a guy had a blowtorch trying to light a cigarette. The DA was under a tremendous amount of pressure for, you know, what he recommended for sentencing. And I think it's, you know, I think the DA of Erie County, Flynn, is a very, he tries to answer questions as honestly as he can. You can see that sometimes it comes out clumsy because guess what? These are very difficult things. And we're used to people, quite frankly, lying to us when it comes to these things. But when it's a guy who accidentally set a fire or purposely set a fire, it's a totally different circumstance when you douse someone with a flammable liquid and intentionally light them ablaze. That, to me, is a bridge too far.
So what do we do with bastards who set women on fire? Here is Howie on a cell phone on WBEN. Howie, welcome to the show. You're on.
Thank you. And listen, hey, great show, guys. I understand you're really talking about this guy doing a heinous crime. And yes, we should have the death penalty for this. I feel really, really bad for this girl because I'm sure she was in love with him. But how much did this guy love his three kids that he just didn't care enough that I'm going to kill myself and my girlfriend?
How do we know he tried to kill himself? A lot of times when people throw flames around, they're too stupid to realize that it's going to burn them too.
You are correct.
So, I mean, if what you're saying is true, then, you know, it's a and again, Howie, I want to preface by saying I have no information outside of what we heard from the police and what we're reading together. So I'm not coming at you like I have inside information. We know the exact same thing. But if it turns out to be that this guy accidentally lit himself on fire, but he purposely lit her on fire, I don't know. I mean, that's something we are not. That's what ISIS does.
Yes. But I'm just worried about the kids.
Well, at this point, this guy made that decision for everyone.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and if you heard the interview with Captain Fred Foles, apparently what happened Saturday at 1:30 in the morning is the boyfriend and girlfriend got into the argument. The police were called in, and the woman, the victim, left with the children. So presumably the children are in the custody of the parents of Jessica. That is a presumption on my part.
Right.
Not a known fact. It's just a presumption.
It's still hard on the kids, and I just can't believe
it. Right around Christmas. I mean, think about this. It's right, not that it would be any better in March, but right around Christmas. Could you make this story any more horrible?
No, but I have an example of a story of a guy I used to work with, that him and his wife on Christmas Eve got in a fist fight. The police took them both to jail and took their three kids. And it's like, you went to jail, and it was Christmas Eve, guys.
Oh.
Think of your kids. Think of your kids. Don't you think of your kids anymore? And this is a what? 1, 3, and what'd you say, 4?
A 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
And the 4-year-old, believe it or not, is going to remember this for the rest of its life. And that's the sad thing about it. That's all I want to say. That's all I got to say about it. And I just feel really bad for the kids. And I feel bad for the girl. And if they can let this guy just die in his bed, don't bring him back. Just let him die. Because he was going to let her die.
Don't bring in the crash cart. Just let nature take its course.
Bingo.
course, I mean, you know, and this is probably why I'm not a doctor, that, and I'm not smart enough, because that makes perfect sense to me, but they are under an obligation to save any and all human life.
Yes, and that's, I hate to say it this way, too. That's an unfortunate thing.
Well, I think it's unfortunate that at the end of the day, if this guy is found guilty as charged, he'll probably see maybe 10 years of prison time.
Maybe. System works nowadays.
All right. Well, Howie, thank you for your input on News Radio 930 WBEN.
If you're calling about the car I sold it.
Golly, what does this mean? David, have you gotten your Christmas shopping done yet? Come on, you strike me as a kind of organized guy who probably, you know, has a checklist you follow each and every day, and you probably finish Christmas shopping before Thanksgiving.
You know, it depends on the different factions. You probably have like four categories of your Christmas, you know, gift list, right? You have family, and then you have friends, and then you have, you know, people you work with, and then you have, you know, folks that get towels.
Well, okay, that brings up a very interesting question. Now, we're not exchanging gifts, are we?
No, I don't.
Good, because that's I would not feel comfortable exchanging gifts with you.
Yeah, first of all,
because I put like mistletoe over my head.
It would have to be public, and then it gets, you know, you are fighting the urge to try to be entertaining, and then it makes for a bad gift.
Yeah, because I'd give you a gag gift.
Of course, but if you were doing it privately or something, I think a Christmas gift could be a dinner or whatever. You don't have to necessarily wrap something. You don't have to make it expensive. I think it's always the Secret Santa thing at the workplace is always the most uncomfortable, because no one honors the limit, and then the guy who does honor the limit ends up with a Dollar General, you know, gift. And everyone looks at him like, what's wrong? The limit was $20.
Don't knock Dollar General. My swimming pool came from Dollar General. Don't knock it.
You can, you know, get 20 lotto tickets or something.
Okay, the lottery ticket gift is always interesting. See, the lottery ticket gift to me says, hey, I know that you're really bad at math. Have a lottery ticket. You're not going to win, but have one anyway.
Right, exactly. And if you win, you get to keep all the proceeds.
Yeah.
That's the key. But the Amazon thing is frustrating. If you, you know, I don't know how many Amazon accounts normal people have. I would assume one. You become a Prime.
One.
You get the 2-day free delivery. You get all the movies and all the cool stuff. But, you know, the problem with having one Amazon account, and if you have a family, everyone that is on Amazon knows instantly what's coming, what's being delivered. You know, it's hard in the era of debit cards and shared credit cards to make any purchase without someone seeing it. But when it comes to Amazon Prime, you know, they know what's being delivered. And you could mark it as a gift, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to give you alerts that it's being delivered. Let's say you bought something like, you know, something large. You got a headboard for your bed, or you bought some, you know, something needs to be delivered with three people. I mean, there's no secret there. That gift is over.
So what you're saying is that Amazon is ruining Christmas, yes, by telling everybody on your account exactly what is coming.
Exactly. If you have an account, and this actually, this is happening with someone that we work with. They brought it up. And they were saying, look, you know, this guy's trying to buy something for his wife, and they share an account, and she knows what's going on. So, you know, Amazon might be the place you go to buy everyone else a gift, but the people that you share an Amazon account with.
Yeah, is the surprise Christmas gift, I mean, I think there hits a point, though, in life where the surprise Christmas gift isn't quite what it was when you were 4 years old.
That's right.
I mean, right. Seriously.
Right. And then the other thing is that I think at a certain point, you know, again, the gift wrapping idea, the idea that you have to rip something open to see what it is, there's that, what is this? It's heavy. It shakes. It's their shoes. It's a shirt, you know, you can, but if you want to, some people go to extra layers and, you know, put a small box in a big box and another box. And,
yep, like those Russian dolls.
Yeah, what's the point? Yeah, we're giving eggs away. It's like inside another one. The whole takeaway is that, you know, usually concert tickets, You know, someone right now is about to win Blake Shelton tickets, right?
Just did.
You can't you throw those in a gift. Have you? Are you a re-gifter?
Oh, it's very interesting you mention that, David. I really wish that I could say I'm a re-gifter, but as everybody knows who listens to this show right now, I'm embarked upon a mission of decluttering my house. And when I say decluttering, not just moving the clutter into piles again, but actually digitizing the stuff that I don't need anymore, taking pictures of it, old documents, old newspaper clippings, and then throwing everything out in the garbage. So anything that I would re-gift under ordinary circumstances is either donated or going to be donated to charity because it's just not worth holding on to around the house. It just takes up space.
Yeah, it's. I think there's a difference between re-gifting something and re-gifting something that you got within a week. You know, if you're re-gifting something that you know someone's going to enjoy and you don't like it, you got to be careful doing that. But if you just got something at a Christmas party and you turn around and that's out the door to another person a week later, you have to reflect on what kind of person you want to be.
And what kind of life that you really have.
Yeah, because that's pretty that means that I never intended to give this person anything. And luckily, I got an ice scraper delivered to me with a Buffalo Bills logo on it. So I'm going to rewrap that up and send that out the door.
I'll tell you, though, if you ever give me a bottle that you know that I do enjoy imbibing in alcoholic spirits, no big surprise. I've changed a lot in that regard in the past 5 years. But if you ever give me a bottle of Old Granddad, David, Old Granddad is the worst, most awful whiskey I've ever had in my entire life. Old Granddad, you know what? The Consumer Product Safety Commission should ban Old Granddad just on general principle. Southern Comfort, it ain't. Oh, my God. I tried it last year, the year before. David, I tell you, if you ever need to throw up, if you ever accidentally swallow poison, take a shot of Old Granddad because you definitely vomit up anything that was going to harm you. So if you give me a bottle of Old Granddad, I would definitely re-gift that. I had it once. I will never have it again. It is the worst alcoholic beverage that has ever been produced by human beings.
Well, again, you know, whether it comes to alcohol, food is another odd gift. You know, someone wraps up cookies, or they, you know, no one would ever put a pot roast in a bag, or you know, maybe you can do the steaks from Omaha. You know, just give someone a year supply.
I have always wanted to do. Have you done that?
I have. It's great, but
I got to be careful with the red meat that I eat. So the red meat that I eat has to be very lean and filled with protein. But I want to try that Omaha steak thing so bad because you know around Christmas time they generally offer that deal where you get what like you know 4 filet mignons, 4 burgers, and a few side dishes for a ridiculously low price.
The thing with those steaks, they come, you know, in the coolers, they have the ice in them and everything else. Those are gifts that you want to just kind of give a card to.
And someone. They come with a picture of your cow.
Yeah, right.
When you adopt a child overseas?
The background information on right. the animal. But I think the thing is that it's like you give them a card and it says, hey, you're getting a steak, you know, a week for the next 6 months, or you're getting a bunch of, you know, lobster tails or whatever the deal is. But it's never a good idea to do like, you know, wrap up all the steaks in a cooler like it's a, you know, a transplant organ. That's not what we're doing.
Here's a kidney.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I always said I'd give you a kidney. Here you go.
Just got back from El Salvador.
And some kid woke up in a bathroom with your kidney is missing. Call 911 immediately. So, like the old urban myth.
Just go with a, you know, like a, and the gift card is always, to me, and the Visa cash card. That's a gift that keeps giving.
Okay, but here's the thing. Why would you do a Visa cash card? We're talking about Christmas gifts, guys, in case you haven't caught on yet. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Why would you do a Visa gift card when you could just give cash instead?
Well, I think you could lose cash, and some of these cash cards you can, you know, through a computer, you can cancel it. The other thing is, if you get the right cash card, you can track what they're spending money on. And that's fun to do. Let's keep that between ourselves. No, but the real, I think the real reason is that it gives them the freedom to do what they want with it. And sometimes people put cash in their pocket and they just feel the need to spend it. And with a Visa card, you know, maybe it might go for gas or it might go for something that they actually need. You know, it gives their options are limitless, but they're also controlled.
Well, you know, you, David, have destroyed my life because you have never used cash. You've never used cash for anything that I've ever seen you buy. You have got me in the habit of using plastic for every single purchase I make. Thanks a lot for those big end of the month bills I've been getting. Now, granted, there's cash in the wallet. Don't get me wrong, but.
Well, you can use a debit card. Why don't you do that?
Well, and I'll tell you why. Because you because you converted me because I realized that the credit cards that I have, you know, they do the cash back thing.
That's the smartest way to go.
So what happens is I put so much money on plastic instead of using cash that usually every quarter I get a nice payback from the credit card company just for whipping out the plastic.
Your daughter graduates law school. She gets a job in Tennessee. And you know you're going to be visiting her three times a year. You get a credit card that has some connection to a flight deal, and you end up,
right?
So you're buying the things that you want. Your quality of life is there, and you get a little perk, which is to save 25% off your flights.
Now, what is my Christmas budget? I won't tell you my Christmas budget, but I wonder if people's Christmas budgets are more this year than they were last year by a significant amount because of the booming, or what was a booming economy.
Yeah, well, any booming economy, if you were in the stock market, that took a tumble. I mean, you know, the financial guys are going to tell you now's the time to double down and get back in the market when prices are low. I just heard Alan Greenspan come out and say, run for the hills. This is going to be a depression in 2019. We're going to go right back to a recession, you know, in 3 months. Perfect time for the Democrats to control the purse. But you know, when you look at it, whether or not you spend whether or not you spend more money from year to year, I find that the things that are the items that people want are more expensive. It's, you know, when their kids, you know, a 4 year old, they might play with the box that the toy came in.
That's right.
So you're able to just kind of stretch out that budget. But when those kids hit 16, 17, you know. They're just, a sweatshirt ain't going to cut it.
You know, I saw a little kid with one of these electric cars that the kid was driving around the house. It was the coolest thing ever. Does anybody buy wagons for their kids anymore? Like radio flyer wagons?
I don't know.
When I was a kid, the wagon was one of the greatest toys ever because you could kind of use it as a scooter, but you could use it to lug your stuff around. It's like carry-on luggage for kids having a wagon.
You can give them like a little shopping cart from Aldi's. I mean, you already bought it. Might as well take it home, right? Why should I return it for my 75 cents?
That's pretty funny.
It's my cart.
You know what my pet peeve is, David? I'm going to catch so much hell for this in the 5 o'clock hour. It's not funny. I happen to think that with very few exceptions. Now, you always have to have exceptions to every rule. Agree? I mean, there's got to be discretion. I mean, you can have a point of view that on which you're very, very strong, but also you are flexible when exigent circumstances arise. But I happen to believe that the stupidest Christmas tradition, and the one that I refuse to take part in, is the sending of Christmas cards. You know how many Christmas cards I send out every year, David?
How many?
That would be zero. You know how many Christmas cards I've sent out in the last 20 years? I think that's zero, or pretty darn close to zero.
What I hate about the Christmas card is the tradition of the Christmas family, I don't know, newsletter?
The letter! Yes!
It's
yes!
Like this update on everything that's going on in their life that nobody asked about, nobody cares about.
And it's
about.
Always good!
Oh, of course it's good. You're not going to say,
I want to write a fake one!
Can't stop drinking, still. You know, you're not going to write that in a Christmas update.
No, that'd be great.
The kids are perfect. Everyone's great.
Mamie's become a crack addict.
Job's great. Yeah.
My son just lost all his teeth because of meth, but look at the good news. He won't be needing a dentist. I mean, things like that I would love to put in a Christmas letter, just a pseudo fake Christmas letter.
Allison's over her STI. No one's going to no one's putting that in a newsletter. But you know, if and again, it's always, you know, it's never someone close to you because someone close to you wouldn't feel the need to write this out. You know, someone close to you, you have all this information because you're friends. It's always like a tertiary, you know, second ring of friend that has to send that out.
So So are you on or off the Christmas card bandwagon? I think sending Christmas cards in 2018 is so stupid. It's such a waste of time. It's ridiculously expensive. I mean, it costs you 50 cents every time you drop something in the mailbox, depending on when you bought your forever stamp. If you bought your forever stamp 20 years ago, you made a good investment. But, you know, think about it. With the cost of postage, the cost of cards, especially quality cards, and then, of course, the cost in time of writing out all the cards, I mean, I think the era where people are sending out 200 Christmas cards a year has got to have ended a long time ago. There's email, there's social media, and there's the old, I hate to sound old school, but picking up the phone and actually talking to somebody.
Right, and, you know, phone calls are as annoying as the Christmas card phenomenon. The thing about there's always a picture, and that some people take it a little too far and try to be, you know, funny. I love the awkward Christmas photos. There's like a website of like the worst Christmas family photos of all time, and some of them are topless or, you know, whatever they are. It's just absurd. You know, everyone on a tree branch together. You know, people put a lot of time and planning into their family Christmas photos that they put on cards, and I don't think that tradition is going away anytime soon. I just think that those people aren't in my life.
Are Christmas cards stupid? Is sending Christmas cards stupid, folks? Have you cut down or even eliminated Christmas cards from your family budget? Or am I just being Scrooge? 803-0930 is the phone number. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I won't even be sending Bellavia a Christmas card. And by the way, David, speaking of Christmas communication, you know what else is really annoying? On Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, your cell phone. Now, as much as we might be in love with our cell phones, how many times have you been trying to enjoy something around, you know, with your family or with whomever you spend your Christmas with, and every 2 minutes, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas from everybody in your contact list?
Yeah, you just send like a mass email to mass text to everyone and say Merry Christmas to them.
Yeah, I mean, again, love the holiday, but there's some things that are happening with the holiday that are turnoffs.
Because basically, if you actually cared enough to make sure that someone knew that you were thinking of them on Christmas, you would, I guess that's why you send cards, right? Because that means that they went to the effort to go and have something printed out. They put money into it. They then licked a stamp and threw it on that thing, and they wrote you a little have a great holiday. But that occupies a ton of time and effort, and there's a cost to it. You know, rolling over half naked and grabbing your phone and just hitting, you know,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, send all.
I did send one Christmas letter, but there were exigent circumstances. I sent it to a private who's undergoing basic training right now at Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, he was very appreciative of the handwritten note.